Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Apologetics Canada podcast. This is Steve Kim.
Andy Steiger.
Terry Crosby.
We are back after the conference. We all got pulled in a million directions, and we're slowly being put back together this week.
Yeah.
Recover time.
Yeah. Speaking of a million different directions, Steve, what if you just give people a snapshot of what we all did that week? Because I think a lot of people think we just did the conference.
It started on Wednesday last week. We took Andy Bannister to Westside Church for a dialogue. Now, we did a dialogue Friday night to kick off the conference, but we actually did one previous to that. So we went to Westside Church in Vancouver to talk about, is Christianity or secular humanism a better foundation for human rights? So very similar to what we did Friday night, but this time with the executive director of BC Humanist Association, Ian Bushfield, who, by the way, was very polite, respectful. It was just a joy to have him. He's the kind of guy that you really want to have around because although you may disagree profoundly, he is very respectful about talking about these things.
What was the final count? Did you hear how many people came?
Yeah. Around 800.
Around 800.
Wow.
811 people actually RSVP'd to show. And there's always some no-shows, right? And so I think all in all, just about 800. So in fact, we had to go from the smaller room that was supposed to see 250 people to the main auditorium.
Because everybody, no one really knew, who would show up.
Right.
And I have to confess, one of the things that was really cool, and I just want to give a shout out to all of our listeners, we met a lot of people at Westside that have been longtime listeners to the podcast and that came out. We met a lot of people there that have just been fans of Apologetics Canada for years. And it was really cool getting to meet you. And I just want to encourage you, if you see us at an event, come and say hi. It's encouraging for us. You know, when you do this podcast, it can actually be pretty discouraging. Yeah. I just stare at Terry and Steve, and talk on these issues. It's good to know that people are out there listening and that this is encouraging you. Mm-hmm. So we sure appreciated that. And that was just, what an encouragement.
Yeah. I got to say kudos to you, Steve, for bringing along that discussion so well.
You did a fantastic job.
You did great, man.
Yeah. I went up on the stage with much trepidation.
And if people are wondering what we're talking about, at the Apologetics Canada conference, we had Justin Brierley that was moderating. But at Westside, our very own Steve Kim was moderating. And I got to say, I personally just felt like you did a really good job.
Absolutely.
Our next podcast, we sat down with Andy Bannister and debriefed that discussion. So we'll air that in our next podcast. Mm-hmm. So be looking for that.
Just before you go on too, though, I just got the video recordings from Westside Church today, and we'll be putting that up too. So you guys can watch that before you listen to the podcast next week. So
which would be even better. That's a great point. So one of the things I love that you did, Steve, is as the discussion started to really ramp up, you just grabbed hold of the throttle and just brought it right back down and really kept them in check. And one of the things you did that I loved was you defined terms as we went for people, which I really think was helpful for those who wanted to follow the conversation but often get lost in the terminology.
Right.
So ontology.
Didn't
that come up?
Yeah, or metaphysics up. Or whatever it might be, which, it's so helpful. So you did a great job in that. We want to give a shout out to Westside. They did a great job hosting that event.
They've been so helpful.
Yeah, a lovely church. Yeah. And by the way, if you're in the Vancouver area and you're looking for a great church to attend,
that's the one.
We highly recommend it. It was interesting, actually. We were talking to one of our listeners that had brought a friend out to the conference, and she was looking for a church. And she says, I think I found a church to attend. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was great.
Fantastic.
I think there's some indication that they're interested in doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were quite positive about doing more stuff with us. So that was, it was very encouraging all around. One other thing, though, that really encouraged me in that dialogue, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but Ian Bushfield, right at the beginning, said how much he loved the Human Project.
I thought that was really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, this is fantastic. Now he's like, I'm sure you bring God in this conversation. I'm going to disagree at some point. but everything I'm watching, I'm loving. And to me, I'm just like, that hit the mark that, listen, the Human Project is something that you can introduce your friends to. Mm. I mean, here's the head of the BC Humanist Association. Well, what else did we do though, Steve? Move us along here.
Yeah. And then on Friday, on the day of the conference, first thing in the morning, Terry actually put together this mini conference at Abbotsford Christian School right here in town, where we invited some of our conference speakers to put on a smaller conference for the students there. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about
that? Yeah, we got some very good feedback from the teachers there. They said they've really appreciated it. So there was five speakers, myself, Isaac Dagno, Paul Dirks, Paul Chamberlain, and Michael Horner, that we all did sessions. And Andy Bannister did chapel in the morning before we went into the sessions.
Right.
It went really well. Yeah, everything flowed well. And the kids had two sessions from those five to pick from. So,
excellent.
Yeah, went really well.
And we're hoping to do more of this.
Yeah.
And I want to just encourage any listeners out there, you know, that might be inspired by this, or maybe you're a teacher. This is something that you could talk to your school about. Host a mini conference in the morning, you know. Like, how many hours was it?
We went from 8:20 to 11:45.
And, you know, what a great opportunity to talk on a variety of issues and get your students thinking.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, Andy was so engaging in chapel.
And how can you say no to that accent?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's got such a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And so their stage that he was on was the Narnia. They were doing a theater piece on Narnia. So he was in front of that, right?
That's perfect.
Yeah, it was just perfect, he said.
Yeah.
It was great.
Well, other than that, each year we do a pastor's lunch. So we brought in Justin Brierley to speak to pastors about what he's learned from 12 years now of dialoguing with people of other worldviews.
If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you already know the radio show that he puts on called Unbelievable. It's also out in the podcast format as well. And it happens to be one of my favorite podcast shows that I've been listening to for a long time. And what Justin does, if you're not familiar with his work, is he'll sit down every Saturday with a Christian and a non-Christian, or 90% of the time, this is what he does. Sometimes he puts Christian and a Christian talking about things that they disagree on, but for the most part, a skeptic and a Christian, and they'll talk about a variety of different issues. And he has been doing this over the last 12 years, and anybody who's listened to this podcast or this radio show knows just what a great moderator he is. And for me, especially after that, my first go at moderating at Westside Church, now I have a brand new appreciation for what he does. It really is an art form to be able to moderate well. Yeah.
So he talked about what he had learned over these years, and it was great. It was a free lunch, and it was a great opportunity to meet one of our speakers. We'll be doing that again next year. Encourage you to check that out.
I had a little starstruck moment with him in the green room.
Did you?
Seriously, yeah, because I've been listening to him, I think, for about 8 years, right? And he does so well at it. And he just keeps the conversation moving around along so well, and I'm just like, hey.
That's funny. I've only had one starstruck moment in my life. And that was the very first time I met William Lane Craig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, oh, so that's another.
And
moment.
I was in his class. It was a class on debate. And they only allowed 15 of us to take the class because we had to debate each other. And then Dr. Craig would critique us.
Oh, and, how nerve-wracking is that?
Oh, yeah. But the only thing I was nervous about it was sitting there, you know, patiently waiting for him to come to class and just how excited I was.
Well, when you introduced him to me at EPS like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another moment going,
Full nerd moment.
Oh, yeah, totally full.
Then we had the conference. And then one thing that a lot of people don't realize that we do is we send speakers out to churches in the area, and then we go with them. So we were at Village Church this last weekend, and we were at Broadway Church this last weekend.
Yeah, so Justin Brierley was able to go to Village Church to share his message, and we took Andy Bannister along to Broadway Church, and it's just been fantastic. And this kind of shows what we're about, right? Because we are about supporting the church. We're not here to replace the church. We're here to walk alongside the church. And we want to see clear thinking associated with the church once again.
Yeah.
That is part of our ethos, if you will.
Yeah.
And so Friday, we...
Yeah, let's jump into the conference.
Yeah, let's jump right into that. So after the pastor's luncheon, we had a break, so to speak. I mean, we were just really setting up for the conference. It actually takes a lot of work setting up all the tables and things like that, all the logistical things that you don't really think about when you're there as an attendee.
Which, again, we got to give a lot of kudos to Northview Community Church. They go above and beyond to put this thing on.
Yeah, they have been really supporting us. And this conference, one of the comments that I get consistently about the conference from our attendees is just the quality of it, mm-hmm. how professional everything looks. And all of that would have been impossible without Northview. And also, we have to send a shout out to all of our volunteers, 80-plus volunteers.
80-plus volunteers to make that happen.
Fantastic. It was just great having everybody there. Now, Friday night, we kicked off with a time of worship, as we always do. Now, some people are a little bit confused. Hey, isn't this an apologetics conference? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, I want to speak to that, because we've even had speakers come up to us and go, why are you doing worship? And we have to explain to people that we are about head and heart. And I love the fact that we combine the two. And I love the fact that we had people at Northview that were from a variety of different worldviews. And we knew that, you know, especially when you saw Q&A happening. You know, there are a lot of worldviews present. But I'm not about to shy away from the fact that we engage with head and heart. And worship is an important component to that.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that we're able to bring people into that and say, listen, this is what we're about. I'm not ashamed of that. Actually, I'm quite proud of it. And in fact, the worship was phenomenal.
Yes, it was.
The music was done very, very well. And I think a lot of
that was done by the young adults group at Northview.
Yeah.
And they did a fantastic job. And it was interesting. We've gotten a number of emails from people going, can you please tell us their set list? Because it was phenomenal.
And the thing too is that now some people might think, oh, you know, like what do you mean the music was great? You know, is this about performance and things like that? And sometimes people just kind of have this, it leaves a bad taste in their mouth because they may have seen some churches where it's all about performance. But for us, it's not so much about performance per se, but it is about excellence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think excellence, I think, is a Christian virtue. If you do everything that you do like you would do unto the Lord, then of course, excellence has to be a part of it. So when we're playing music, when you're reading scripture, whatever it is that we do as an act of worship, we want to excel at it. And so, and that part of that is, yes, was there musical excellence? And I would say there was.
And on the same token, right, we want to make sure that the intellectual engagement is also excellent.
Yeah.
So both things are taking place, and we're so thankful for them and doing a great job. Now, I kicked off Terry kicked off the conference.
Opened it up.
Yeah, you did. Got out on the stage, and you lost yourself a little bit out there, Terry.
Yeah, man. That time goes quick, I tell you. Oh, wow. Well, you threw in a little bit of give out these prizes or these
it's
things
one of
right
those,
at the end.
It's one of those moments where, in my mind, I'm like, this is how you do it, Terry. You just quickly give these away. But in Terry's mind, he's thinking, I'm gonna
have a little conversation with the people.
Yeah. The one that concerned me, I was a little scared for you for a moment there, Terry, is we had a backpack giveaway and then the person wasn't there to get it. And you seemed as though you weren't sure what to do or to like how
to
move forward.
I gave them a little dance. Did you see that?
Can't say that I did, Terry.
No, okay. Well, then I did a little dance. That didn't work out too well. And then Nancy ran to get... Aaron.
Did you not think in your mind, though, maybe I should just keep going?
Well, I did. After I said, come on, Nancy,
okay,
let's go. Maybe I should give something out. And that's when I started giving out more and more things.
I was getting
so it wasn't
worried.
Too much of a time lapse there between.
So anyway, we had to send Daniel out there.
Now,
so in my mind, when I said, Daniel, go let Terry know that he needs to hurry up.
Yeah.
In my mind, it was... Go in the back, raise your hand, give him the whole time thing.
Yeah.
You know, discreetly.
I'm on the left side of the stage and all I hear was, Terry!
Just yelled at you.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
And then he came down half the aisle, pointing at his watch.
So he may have overdone that a bit.
And then that's when I said, oh, I'm getting the tap or the watch tap. I better hurry up here.
Oh, mercy. So it was just a bit of a gong show, but it worked out. How cool was that? To have your parents.
Oh, absolutely. To introduce her at the.
For those who weren't there, tell them what you did, what you said.
Yeah, I just introduced just the whole idea of residential schools. My mom was a residential school survivor. And then just talked a little bit, gave some quotes and some stats about that, just in a very short talk right at the beginning. And then in the end, introduced my mom. And she...
Which was hard for her.
Oh, it was very hard for her. Yeah. But she said, I'll do it for you, she says.
Now, if I understand correctly, that was the very first time her story had been shared. Like
exactly.
That.
Yeah. And she came in... Well, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but she came into my sessions as well and sat through both. And it was difficult. Very, very difficult for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a huge shout out to Terry's mom for being willing to.
Yeah, my brother was there. He came from Phoenix to attend.
And just to be really clear, your mom, she's full
Cree.
Cree.
Yep.
She spent 6 years in a residential school.
That's right. Yep. 6 years. She was from Quebec, went to residential schools in Ontario that were about, one was 800, about 800 kilometers away. The other one was about 600 kilometers away. So it was definite separation from kids from parental influence, but that was a big piece to the residential schools. Yep.
So as you can imagine, then Terry is native. Is that how you would say it?
Yeah, sure.
That you're native?
First Nations, yeah.
First Nations. And man, I just think that's so valuable just to talk about how these things did happen. Let's don't pretend like they didn't.
Yeah.
But at the same time that we can bring Jesus into the conversation and that your mom has found healing through Christ.
Yeah. And people don't realize how close all this is as well. You know, when I bring the statistic up of the last residential school closing in 1996, people are really surprised. Yeah. So all this discussion with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of getting the stories out there just concluded in 2015. So a lot of the stories are just being told, right?
Yeah. Right.
And there's a lot of healing
and your
that
family's
needs
one
to
of
be.
Those. I mean, your mom's story had never been told.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it reminds me, wow, we sure need to have a lot more patience and preparation to just for the healing process to just begin for some people.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I was certainly shocked when I heard it was the last one closed in 1996. I'm like, I was here. I was in Canada. I had arrived 2 years prior to that. And just to think that, you know, this was going right around me.
Yeah.
Especially because your mom's story, and I've said this before, but your mom's story is very similar in some ways to what my grandmother had to go through during her time. And in fact, I told your mom that at the end and said, I must say my heart really went out to you when I heard your story.
Yeah.
And I can...
And in Canada, hers is just one out of 150,000 plus kids that went to these residential schools. You know, as hard as my, I mean, there was even worse stories in the sense that there was sexual abuse and stuff like that. Right. Fortunately, my mom's story doesn't include that.
Yeah. Now, this was the perfect way to open up the evening then, right? Because we were going to start talking about human rights.
Human rights,
And as we were opening that up, we also showed the first short story video from the Human Project. Where you raised question, what is human? And you came out and shared a little bit about the Human Project and led into the dialogue. Can you tell us a little bit?
And this would be a good opportunity just to give some even more clarification as people are just starting to understand what the Human Project is, because we received some emails from people just going, could you just help us to understand more clearly, you know, on a very practical level, what is this Human Project? You know, because we were selling lots of T-shirts, mugs, we were giving away stickers and whatnot. And they're like, well, you know, what do I say to my friends? Well, just to explain it again, you know, on the Friday night, we shared session one of the Human Project. Now, that was just the short story, which is designed to get you discussing the topic of what is human. Now, the video that we filmed was in Uganda, in Jinja at the orphanage of Jaja Barbs. And in fact, Banana Bread Barb, as she's well known as, was actually at the conference. And that was actually the first time she had seen the video that we had filmed while we were with her.
And it was really interesting because I was actually not in Uganda with the filming crew and everything. So I'm seeing everything after the fact, right? Andy, Jake, and Richard. Now, these are the guys that actually were there, got to meet the orphans there, got to interact with the children and everything. So I don't know any of these kids. All I'm seeing are faces. Mm-hmm. But I remember Jaja Barb saw the poster of the Human Project. And she said, oh, that's so-and-so. She's on here. Wow. How wonderful, right? And she's recognizing all these faces in the video. It was so precious.
So the video is a story that gets you discussing what is human. And after that discussion time, then there's 20 minutes of teaching that's led by myself. And it uses a variety of things. It uses animation, quotes, whatnot, to teach on that question from a Judeo-Christian worldview, giving you an answer that you can build as a foundation to this question, what is human? And the idea behind this is to use the perspective of our humanity as a lens from which to explain the gospel to people. Right. And now you can say it the other way too, is to use the lens of the gospel to explain to somebody their humanity.
Yeah, those two things are interconnected really very closely, right? So the question of what is human, for example, has all kinds of implications for what the gospel is.
It's a gospel question.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and actually all four of them, what is human, what's the value of human life, what leads to human flourishing, and how should humans live, are all gospel questions. That's exactly what we're doing. We're taking our humanity to talk about the gospel, and we're taking the gospel to talk about our humanity. It was interesting, by the way, we're going to talk about the dialogue in a moment here, but I have to say the Saturday morning, that was a powerful moment when we shared session two of the Human Project, What is the Value of Human Life? And it's the story of Matlin Breckbill, who a lot of people didn't realize is my niece from Portland, Oregon, who had been adopted from Calcutta. And as you see, she has cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
Now, she came out on the stage with me and
just from where I was standing in the back. So this is what I saw. So you see the video playing out, and Maddie is really pouring her heart out. I have cerebral palsy. I have fetal alcohol syndrome.
Life is tough.
Yeah, life is tough. I fall all the time after all this surgery and everything. So she's talking about – she's questioning her own value. You know, she's wrestling with the question. And as the video is wrapping up, you see a tiny little figure hobbling along with a walking stick just like you saw in the video – against this massive curtain in the background that if you've been to Northview, you know what I'm talking about, right? And here's Andy walking ever so gently and tenderly right beside her, keeping pace with her.
Yeah.
I started tearing up and I was thinking like, I'm not gonna cry.
And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm gonna hold it together.
Now then,
I got a text from my wife saying, I can't stop crying. I just saw the trail or the video with Maddie and she's like, I can't stop crying.
And
so powerful.
And then people started clapping, and then one person.
I was expecting the clapping, but then.
Once one person stands up here, another person stands up there. Before you know it, there is full standing ovation happening, and people just won't stop their applause.
That's when I lost it.
And so
I was like a newly crowned beauty queen.
I was holding it together until I saw Andy pinching his tear glands. And then I lost it. Right? Yeah. I was just like, oh.
I don't think that there was a dry eye in there.
Oh, I didn't get to see it. I was not there.
Man, was a powerful moment.
Yeah, and you don't really realize how tiny Maddie actually is. Like, you just from the video, you don't know. But then you stand next to her.
Yeah.
Like, she comes up to maybe my chest, but she's not a little kid.
No, she's 18. And I got to tell you, she was loving every minute of being there. She thought the conference was so cool. She was so encouraged to get to share her story. And in her mind, I mean, she's a movie star, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and I it was just so fabulous to see people talking, engaging with her, and just mm-hmm. loving her.
And she's engaging. Like, I talked to her at the supper on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And she's back and forth asking questions. I mean, she approached me and she said, I loved your opening. It was great. And I'm just like, oh, wow, thanks, you know? She's so sweet.
Oh, yeah. she is so sweet.
Such a heartbreaker. I mean, we knew this was going to break hearts, but I didn't realize to what extent it would do that.
Yeah.
And I think it was just such a beautiful moment for me, and standing in the back, seeing all these people affirming her value by applauding.
Oh, we got so many emails of people that have written into us and said, you know, I've often wondered my value. She goes, but we've heard from these different people, but just saying, after this weekend, you've really clarified to me just how valuable I am.
What a wonderful testimony, right?
Unreal.
So then let's just jump back to the dialogue.
I want to talk about that. Let's chat about the dialogue. Now, we had Justin Trottier that was here dialoguing with Annie Bannister.
Yeah, and Justin Trottier, for those of you that are not familiar, he's a secular humanist. He is a speaker with Secular Alliance. I think he was also the co-founder of Center for Inquiry in Canada.
He's a really lovely guy.
Again, yeah.
Great
conversation. And he was a sharp dude. I mean, I knew he was sharp, but Andy Bannister is also really sharp. I didn't want it to be one-sided where, for example, you know, Andy Bannister is dominating Justin Trottier and things like that. Because then, I mean, this is an apologetics conference. We're inside a church building, right? We didn't want it to be this sort of, you know, let's invite a secular humanist speaker and bully him kind of thing.
Right.
But no, Justin Trottier really held his ground. I thought he did a great job.
I think it helps that this is like their third time having dialogue, which I think we benefited from, because it meant that they really were sparring off in it. I think it helped people to see a couple things. And one of the most important things for us wasn't, you know, winning some conversation. Mm-hmm. The win for us was to show you that you can have a conversation with someone that you disagree with, and that you can do so with gentleness and respect, and that you can learn a lot in that conversation from one another.
Like we said before, Justin Brierley was the moderator. It's going to be broadcast on his show. If you didn't hear it that night or didn't get to the conference, it'll be broadcast on his show in the next few weeks. Check that out.
Yeah, and if you were there and you cheered like Justin asked you to, your cheering is going out to the entire world.
There you go.
It'll be really exciting. Yeah, and that dialogue was fantastic. Like, I mean, the one comment that I consistently got from people was that just how much they appreciated the dialogue being so cordial and respectful.
And which is interesting because we were having dinner after the conference with Justin Brierley and his wife Lucy and Andy Bannister. There's a group of us that we were just talking. And as we were talking, we were saying that there is a balance to be had where you want some tension there, because I noticed in that conference there was not one person that wasn't disengaged. It was 100% engagement from 100% of the people, because you could feel that tension. But as we were talking to Justin about, because he's had shows where there's too much tension, and then you actually want to disengage because now it's uncomfortable. There is this right balance of tension that needs to be there, where it's respectful, and not disrespectful, but yet at the same time,
it's spirited.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we hit it dead on.
Yeah, I thought it was just perfect. And that's why I was so glad to have Annie Bannister and Justin Trottier. I think they went together really well, because that was one of the things that we talked about with Justin Brierley, right? You want to pair off the right kinds of people that will have the right chemistry. Right, and I think in this case, we got that.
Because we were talking to him, and he said that he actually had a show once where he just had to press pause on the show and say, guys, you're going to need to go for a walk or cool off, because this is getting way too heated.
Right.
They both had great humor, right? So it's just back and forth. That's what kept it.
And that sure helps.
At that level.
Right. Yeah. And Justin, right, like, he came out swinging with his sense of humor, because we all sat down, you know, so Justin Brierley mentioned the fact that, you know, what are the chances of having two Justins and two Andys at the same conference to deal with? And Justin Trottier goes, intelligent design.
Nice.
I mean, everybody just cracked up laughing. And it just brought the guard down, especially because in a church setting where probably the majority of people were Christians, right?
Yeah.
Like it or not, if you bring in somebody that you know disagrees with you profoundly, you tend to have your guard up.
Right.
But with just that one comment, that great sense of humor, I think Justin did a great job just disarming people.
It's nice to listen to English people talk as well. Isn't that a plus? Two out of the three up on stage were English.
That's right.
Right? And I said to somebody during the conference, I was like, is it too much to ask to be a Cree with an English accent? Is that too much to ask? Seriously.
Yeah.
Classic.
Oh, yeah. And so that dialogue was just phenomenal.
I thought the dialogue was great. One of the things, though, that I noticed in the dialogue, now it was cool. I had people come up to me and say, you know, Andy, it was awesome listening to that dialogue because as they were talking, I could see where in Justin Trottier's reasoning there were holes. And one of the things that I noticed in his dialogue or in his responses, and this even when we would talk to him, you know, before the conference or after, is that Justin Trottier will see that there are issues in his worldview.
Right.
For example, backstage I was talking to him about the challenges of determinism on atheism, which he fully acknowledged is a significant challenge to his worldview. Mm-hmm. But what he does in response to that is he turns it back. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were there for that conversation, Steve.
I was just kind of passing by and I overheard you guys talking.
What he does in that moment, though, is then he'll turn it back to you and say, how are you going to deal with that?
Right.
And he kept doing that during the conference because I talked to Andy Bannister about it afterwards and he goes, yeah, he goes, after you mentioned that, you know, Andy, I noticed that he really does that a lot. He'll turn it back to you and instead of answering it, he wants to make you answer it. Mm-hmm. And I think in the future with somebody like Justin Trottier, he really needs to try to answer those questions. Yeah. I felt like Andy Bannister was giving a lot of those answers. Justin was not giving those answers.
I mean, that's not to say that Justin didn't answer any of the questions.
Agreed.
Right? So he talked about what his views were and things like that, but he did do that sort of move a lot where he'll put it back on Andy Bannister, which I think in a lot of ways is a good move. Make sure you hold the other person accountable too. But I guess what you don't want to do, and I'm not saying that this is what Justin did, is keep asking those questions without giving answers of your own. And I think in a lot of ways, Justin did give his answers, but just the impression that I got was he asked a lot more questions than he gave answers,
which ended up
Bannister did the other way.
Which ended up being fantastic in some ways because I thought it was really fascinating to see that Justin Trottier didn't have a correct understanding of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out in the conversation. For example, one of his understandings of Jesus was that it's because Jesus died for people that people have value. And Andy Bannister did a great job explaining that aspect of the gospel to Justin, and he did so with an illustration that I thought was fantastic. He said, no, Justin, listen, if my son or daughter ran out into the street and I ran after them and sacrificed my life to save theirs, their value wouldn't be found in that moment in me sacrificing my life for theirs. Mm-hmm. It's because they already had that value that I'm running to the street to rescue them. And really giving this idea that, no, we're talking about inherent value that was given to you by God that you came into the world with via being made in the image of God, and God's love for you was demonstrated in its most fullest sense when God ran to the cross in your place.
Yeah, it was a demonstration. It was a revelation, not a point of origination for human value. Yeah, so that Friday night dialogue was, it was just electrifying. We got tons of good comments on it. And I think every year, right, after the conference, we talk about, oh, who should we bring next year? And How do we go even above and beyond what we did last year?
Which we're going to try to do, but it's hard when you keep...
It's getting harder and harder.
Having these great years. And if you are one of those people that didn't make it out to the conference, you can still order the digital download. You can also get it on a USB stick. We'll mail it to you. And it's got everything on there. It's got the West Side event. It's got the conference. It's got all the breakout sessions. We put absolutely everything that we can onto that to get you what you may have missed.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I should mention that that includes the Friday night main session and the Q&A time, because we had a great time of Q&A as well that we just don't have the time to cover right now. But see for yourself, it was a really fun time of Q&A.
With regards to breakout sessions, and then maybe we should just wrap this up there. My breakout session was on giving a history of humanity. This year, I went a little more on the academic level. I'm probably not going to do that next year. I felt bad for some people that were in there, but I think people enjoyed it. One of the things that I talked about was something that surprised me in my academic work, and that is I talked about atomism, and particularly Leucippus and Democritus, in that atomism is an ancient idea, not a modern idea. Really surprised me, this idea of physicalism, the idea that all that exists is just physical stuff.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's where the word atom comes from. It's Greek for uncuttable. And basically the idea was if you just kept cutting matter into its smallest points, you would come to a point that's uncuttable that the Greeks referred to as an atom. And so then I just walked people through, where did we go as we left atomism, and went into dualism and physicalism, idealism, and really have arrived where we're at currently, where we have a complete mix of ideas, but in secularism, where physicalism is the reigning worldview in that sense.
Tons of fantastic breakout sessions. I mean, just across the hall from me was Terry with his session on, two worlds collide. And I was competing with a giant over there, right? Sounds like your session was pretty well attended too.
It was, and kudos to my brother because he went searching for more chairs. I think we probably had close to 60 people crammed in that little room.
It was a little room.
Yeah.
It was a small room.
And for both sessions, it was close to that, somewhere between 50 and 60, I'm sure.
That's fantastic.
But it was well received. They talked to my mom afterwards. That was, it was hard to have her in there. It really was.
For me to give that. In the sense of hearing this.
Yeah, for her hearing it again and being her story being told, and for me developing it, because I had to look at her. talk about it. I had to look at her and it was hard. Very difficult at times.
Yeah.
I was, honored to do that, share her story. Yeah.
One of the many perks of working with Apologetics Canada for me, I don't get to listen to all of the breakout sessions, but I do because I'm the one that collects the audio recordings and edits them at the end so it can be included in the package. So I'm actually really looking forward to listening to your
session. Which we have to listen to them in their entirety, by the way.
Yeah.
Because one year we had a speaker that went off to the bathroom and you could hear everything.
Everything.
And we almost missed it.
Yeah, almost missed it.
Yeah, so, almost got into
really? The... Really? Yes. I didn't hear that one.
Yes.
I was thinking, okay, I gotta make the best use of my time and maybe, I'll listen to, just the beginning and the end, make sure they're good.
You listen to both sessions?
Yeah, I listened to both sessions and then picked the best one and then edited and then I listened to this is where I went wrong because I listened to the beginning and the end. Then I was like that one year, I was like, I should probably listen to the whole thing because I don't know what else might have happened in the middle. Sure enough, there was that one speaker who went to the bathroom.
Potty break.
Yeah, and so I'm like, whew, I'm glad this was, saved his honor, the speaker's honor, and our honor as well.
Steve heard everything though.
Yeah. That will forever be seared in my mind.
What did you talk about in your breakout session?
My title sounded probably a little too academic for most people, but it was basically the subtitle was Personhood in the East and the West and its implication for ethics. The main title was A Drop in the Ocean, because in the Eastern pantheistic worldview, the idea that everything is God, you as an individual are basically like a drop of water that's going into the ocean, right? And once you are in the ocean, you're one with the ocean. There's no distinction between. And so
very dehumanizing.
Very. And so basically I made the point that actually in that session I addressed naturalism as well. Because both pantheism and naturalism say there is only one type of thing in this world. It's either matter, naturalism, or physicalism, or God, pantheism, all is God. Either of these worldviews can't really account for morality because morality is, for one, a personal quality, but more than that, it is an interpersonal quality, right? So you need to have that I-thou relationship. Yeah. Neither of these worldviews can actually hold that. That's basically what I talked about.
Which, by the way, that I-thou, I-it relationship right. is picked up from Buber's work,
right.
which is fascinating to read, but it gets into this idea of the dehumanization. Now, it's an interesting one in that we have to be careful, don't we, when we talk about pantheism?
Right.
Because I think it's easy for us to impute a theistic understanding of God into
right.
that pantheistic
and so
worldview.
I went over and over again, I mentioned now in pantheism, when we say all is God, the highest order of being in pantheism is not a person. It is an impersonal force, whether you call it Brahman in Hinduism, Dharma in Buddhism, Tao in Taoism. It is an impersonal force, which means everything is just one set of cause and effect blindly and necessarily leading to the next.
And in fact, I was in a Hindu temple that sought to demonstrate Brahman with a bell. So right. ringing that bell and talking about how those sound waves.
That's the Om.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. That's Brahman. You know, or in Buddhism, you'll often have Dharma that's illustrated with an ocean.
Right. I made the point that if you want to make sense of, if you want to ground morality, objective morality, Christian theism is the best option because not only is the highest order of being a person, if you have the highest order of being as a person, then you can have other persons. That makes sense. How do you get persons from impersonal force or whatever, right? So it actually makes sense. Further, it's not just a person. In the case of the Christian theism, the highest order of being is a community of persons.
Yeah, and the Trinity.
Right. So it accounts for the interpersonal quality of morality and it grounds it perfectly.
Do you know one thing? And we don't have time to tease this out too much, but we often talk about the Christian understanding of morality from a divine command theory perspective, which was brought up a number of times in both dialogues, particularly with reference to the Euthyphro dilemma. But I couldn't help but wonder if maybe we should be changing the way that we say divine command theory to something more like relational theory or something like that. I'm gonna give some more thought to it because one of the things I noticed was in both dialogues a misunderstanding of what that means because a lot of people, they forget to put Christianity through the lens of relationship.
Yeah.
When they don't do that, it can be easy to misunderstand the Christian worldview.
Right. Well, I think we should wrap up now. We're well over time here. There is so much more that we could talk about this conference. But how was your experience, our listeners? If you want to send in a comment, we would welcome that. info@apologeticscanada.com and tell us how your experience was attending the conference. Now, again, the Apologetics Canada Conference 2018 digital recordings will be available probably sometime in April. So just hang in there if you've pre-ordered it. If you have not ordered it, you can go to apologeticscanada.com/store and you can place your order. And when it's ready, we'll email it to you or we'll mail it to you. Whatever format you choose, we'll do that accordingly.
And just as a reminder, you can get a hold of the Human Project at humanproject.ca. And those of you that are at the conference, you know that we had a children's book that we released as well called What Am I?
Very popular.
Yeah, and that was very popular. We have that on the Apologetics Canada store. You can purchase that and it will be on Amazon soon enough.
All right. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada, and we'll come back with an interview with Andy Bannister next week, debriefing our dialogue at Westside Church. Until then, ciao. If you enjoy and appreciate the AC Podcast, show us some love on iTunes. Please consider leaving a review. It helps us keep doing what we're doing.